I always get scared whenever I hear that someone's like super excited to meet me because, you know, as is the pinnacle of this podcast today, I feel like it's all downhill from there. Mm-hmm. Like after we meet, they're gonna be like, oh, that was a big letdown. Thanks.
No, it wasn't a big letdown.
Sarah, we're back again for another episode of Food Blog Radio. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing fantastic, Gary. And how are you? How was your vacation?
Excellent. It was long. It was 1,500 odd miles of driving. I can tell you there's parts of my body that still aren't functioning properly. So, but we had a fabulous
Well,
time.
Welcome back and welcome everyone else back to another exciting episode.
I agree.
Food Blog Radio.
Yeah, we have a big time food blogger with us. Of course, everybody's big time once they get onto Food Blog Radio.
Well, that is true. Because, you know, that's how you know you've made it.
Exactly.
You're on Food Blog Radio.
We are the pinnacle. Great. And we're going somewhat across the country for this, aren't we?
A little bit. Yeah, we're going to take a short flight and hop over and visit with Amanda Retke. She is from the blog I Am Baker. Oh, and I should say it's imbaker.net, and we'll have to ask her about that, but that's where she is. She does all kinds of great cakes and baking and cupcakes, and I can't wait to get to know her better.
Yeah, and she's in Minnesota, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, because I saw a beautiful sunrise photo from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, wow, jealous.
Well, let's go talk to her.
Cool, let's do it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in to Food Blog Radio. We are here back again with you, and today we are talking with Amanda Retke from IamBaker.net. Hi, Amanda. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Great. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Thanks.
Yeah. We're, what's the word we like to use?
We're so excited.
We're so excited. Sarah's favorite line. Great to have you here, Amanda. Thank you so much for taking out the time to chat with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor. You guys are amazing. And I'm kind of humbled to be among the lucky enough folks who've been able to do this before me. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It's very kind of you to say.
Absolutely. We determined earlier that this is the pinnacle of everybody's career.
I would fully support that. This is the turning point in my life.
That's right.
Thank you for determining that.
We'll put this
now you know you can move on. You know, you can highlight. You've been on Food Blog Radio.
Everything's downhill from here. So, Amanda, take a couple quick minutes to tell us about you personally. Your background, history, etc. Who you are.
Okay, I would be happy to take a couple minutes to bore everyone. So basically, I was born in Fargo, North Dakota. That's the accent that you're hearing. I live with my husband in Minnesota. We live on 15 acres and we homestead. So we have right around 100 chickens and eggs, lots of eggs, and lots of land which we hunt on and trail on and shoot on. And beyond the homesteading and the raising of my five children, the oldest is 11, youngest is 3, I blog. I have a little baking blog where I make cakes and cookies and all things delicious and sweet. And I've been doing that for about 10 years.
Okay, I just have to stop you because you do not have a little blog.
I caught that too.
you know... As we all grow and as people they grow their blogs, one thing I'm noticing is what I would consider my following is not big in comparison. I feel like that there's a lot of equality among bloggers and there's one or two or, you know, maybe 10 people that shine above and beyond the rest, but I'm right in the middle of it. I don't have huge numbers. I don't have tiny numbers. But honestly, we are a lot closer than you would probably think.
Well, that is very kind of you to say because I've seen your Facebook page.
Very humble.
Okay. I mean, we're at a whopping 600 fans on Facebook. 600! You get that just in likes alone.
Oh, good
pictures.
Facebook's a whole different story.
It is. That's very true. Vanessa, I didn't mean to interrupt you explaining about yourself, but you know, I've been a fan for a long time, and I know there's nothing little about your blog. It's huge and wonderful.
You are too kind. I remember meeting you. Was that in Iowa that we met?
At Utah.
In Utah. I remember meeting you and getting introduced to your blog and kind of having a little like love moment. Because you're one of my people. You're funny and you're witty and you get really bad jokes that I like to tell. And so I like to surround myself with people as kind as you.
Okay, so here was my version of that. Oh my God, Amanda's going to be at this conference. Do I bring my book with me? Because you have a book and we will touch on that in a little bit. But Okay. Do I bring my book with me? Do I ask her to sign it? No. And I'm like, maybe she'll take a selfie with me. I don't know. But it's Amanda. So that was my version of that. Just being able to hang out with you. I was like, yeah, I'm with the cool kids now.
I always get scared whenever I hear that someone's like super excited to meet me because, you know, as is the pinnacle of this podcast today, I feel like it's all downhill from there. Like after we meet, they're going to be like, oh, that was a big letdown. Thanks.
No, it wasn't a big letdown. You were very gracious and I loved meeting you. And
checks in the mail. Thank you.
Okay, you got it.
What's going to happen now, Amanda, is everybody's going to run up to you and say, are you Amanda from Food Blog Radio?
Yeah, see, this is what I was afraid of.
Yeah,
get mobbed.
Downtown Minnesota, you won't be able to walk through downtown Minnesota.
That's funny.
So, but let's go back 10 years because we'll keep going on these tangents, which are just adorable. I love that. Oh, Amanda, why did you start a food blog?
So I, being raised in Fargo, North Dakota, I call Fargo the biggest small city in the world because everything you could ever want is in Fargo. They have every restaurant, they have every new edge, new age fashion and technology. I think they had at one point like the highest amount of millionaires per capita of any other city in the United States. Wow. So growing up in Fargo, I was not a big farm girl. Like we did not have chickens. I didn't know that eggs came from chickens. It was literally so ingrained in, if you need something, you go to the grocery store and buy it. That is where meat comes from. This is, you know, so not in the best sense of knowledge in the sense of the word, I guess. So we moved to Minnesota, my husband and I, and I started having kids and they started having like birthdays and events and I lived out in the middle of nowhere and you know, instead of going to the grocery store, which was 30 minutes away, I had to bake my own cupcakes. So for me, that was opening up a box, which I know some people are completely opposed to. But for me, that was the very first step in understanding what baking was. So I had this little tiny blog called I Am Mommy, which literally me and my mom read. That was it. Mm-hmm. It was actually not even called a blog. It was called an online journal back mm-hmm. in the day. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't want to bore all of my readers with my baking stuff, so I'm going to put it over on I Am Baker. So to this day, like I Am Mommy is my happy place. That's who I am. That's who I strive to be. But I Am Baker gets way more attention than any of that. And so I decided to kind of focus on that for career purposes, and it just kind of went from there. Did I even answer the question?
Yes, you did.
You did, yeah. Okay. And very well also. I was really fascinated by the Fargo comment of how it's the epicenter of the world. And, you know, I thought I was big time because we had a Kmart here and two Starbucks where I live. So I'm a wee bit jealous now.
Well, I'm not there anymore. But yeah, I would. It's kind of surprising at how advanced and Fargo is.
Yeah, fascinating. Now, you, Sarah and I were wondering earlier, and I guess this is a good time as any to ask it. Why do you have iambaker.net instead of .com? Is there a strategy behind that?
No. Oh my goodness, no. That is just really poor planning on my part. When I went to get iambaker.com, someone had owned it and I think they wanted to charge me $1,200. And I was floored. I was like, I would not spend that a year in flour. No, absolutely not. And now today, I just actually inquired about it this year, and they offered to sell it to me for $21,000. Mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah. That was really bad on my part. I should have jumped at the first chance, but no, I just don't see the need to go for the .com at this point. It's sitting empty. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if people go there by accident, then they'll maybe kind of understand it's not an operating site and they'll find their way to me. If someone was utilizing it, I would probably take some different steps in action.
Yeah. Well, and they would struggle too, Amanda, because you own I Am Baker, you know, no matter how you look at it, you are going to come up before them. And whether they want 21,000 is they're never going to get it because nobody can recapture that amount because you own that space already. So yeah, no, I totally understand.
Yeah. I hope you're right. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I have the same problem with my website, which is cooking-outdoors, and to buy Cooking Outdoors is $28,000. But it's just like, I give you $500 for it, but I own that space. Why do I have to spend $28,000 for something I own?
Absolutely, yeah.
So don't worry about it. You're doing just fine.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always jump in and ask the question. So Sarah, feel free to tell me to hush, but
I know. You're good.
Okay. So
hush. No.
That's the part I edit out right there.
No, you don't. That goes on the blooper reel, and every other woman behind me is going, yes. And then you turn bright red, which is, you know, part of my favorite thing
I
to
have
do.
A suntan. Thank you. Amanda, what was it like starting out a blog 10 years ago? Because, you know, that was very early in the blogging game, the blogging world.
It was great. I knew nothing and just jumped in and started doing what I felt like doing. I didn't know SEO. I didn't know technology. I mean, I still don't get me wrong, but basically I was just writing for the sake of writing and sharing pictures. And what that blog did is it really pushed me outside of the comfort zone in parenting. So I was tested in what I wanted to share, what I was comfortable with sharing online. And I definitely learned limits. You know, if you're sharing faith or politics or money, you know, people will react to that. And I didn't want that reaction. So I tempered back a lot. But it also helped me to really grow like in photography. My first camera was that little point and shoot. And I thought I was the queen of the world. I was going to do photography classes or something. I mean, they were awful. It could not have gotten worse. And I was doing like photography tutorials for people, and you know how I did not offend the entire world of professional photographers, I don't know. But basically having known nothing and starting out with it, I just kind of started learning things along the way that applied to not only like career, but it also applied to me as a mom and a wife and someone who wanted to develop professionally.
Why did you choose baking as opposed to general cooking for your blog?
Well, because to this day, I cannot cook. I like to me, and this is where people kind of think I'm crazy because I seem to have gotten it backwards. But to me, baking is so much easier than cooking. Like I find the idea of having to put together, like throwing together a pasta dish in one pot on the stove, like terrifies me. And I will find a way to screw it up. Like those recipes that say no fail, except for Amanda from I Am Baker is kind of how that goes. Cooking is so hard. And I'm also very limited in my palate. I just don't have the knowledge base to understand seasonings and temperatures and, you know, all the things that you really should know to be a chef or a cook. Mm-hmm. But baking was pretty darn easy. Like you would get in, you'd say a cup of flour, a cup of sugar, you know, throw some frosting on it. And all of a sudden people were like, hey, that's awesome. How did you do that? I'm like, well, what do you mean? How did I do that? Just like everyone else did that. And that also kind of led into surprise inside cakes, because when I was making surprise, the first surprise inside cake I made was in 2010, and that I had never made like a from scratch cake before I did that. So this was all from box mixes, and I basically was like, I need to bring a cake to a church potluck. So I needed to be super PG and fun, but I wanted to be different than everyone else. So it was totally vanity. I just wanted my cake to be the best that was sitting on that potluck table. So I decided, well, I'm going to make a jack-o'-lantern cake and I'm going to put a candle inside of it with cake. And so I basically made my chocolate cake, and then I carved out a center and put white cake in it, and then I carved out a little spot for some yellow cake for the candle flame, and I put it back together, and I had my first surprise inside cake. Wow. And people would say, how did you do that? And my response was, I didn't know that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like something I wanted to do, so I did it. And that's kind of been how I've grown in a lot of things in life and in blogging. It's just, I just didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do it. So I did it.
Yeah, so much fun. And I'm looking at your website right now, as I normally do when we chat with our guests and going through your surprise.
I let you look at my website when you're talking to other guests. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, you know, now that the secret's out. I think one of my favorites is the little bunny, obviously Easter. I'm going to click on it and see what happens. Oh, it says I can pin it. Yay!
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun really coming up with different things to put inside of cakes. It's a whole new world now.
The heart that's on the cover of that is just amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That probably takes a lot more patience than I have.
Yeah, it's not one of those quick and easy recipes. It takes a little planning and dedication and time.
Yeah. Speaking of dedication and time, you mentioned earlier you have 5 adorable little people who live in your house with you.
I do. Yeah.
You do. So what is the biggest challenge you face with blogging and doing all these beautiful cakes and raising these very active children?
Well, that's a big question. I am one of those rare people that, like, the end of school comes around and I am thrilled. Like, I want my babies home with me. I love having them around. If I could homeschool, I did try to homeschool for 2 years and was just so bad at it that I couldn't continue for the sake of my poor children. But I love having them around me. And so one thing that I've been very purposeful in is including them. I don't have a desk or a formal office. My computer sits on the table in our dining room. And it's a nice long farmhouse table, so I don't have to move it like every night or anything. But they're there. They're around me all the time. As you're probably going to hear even today, you'll hear screaming in the background. But that's a very conscious choice that I made some time ago, is that at the end of the day, I am mommy. That is my job. That is what's important. I have these children with me for so short of a time. Yeah. I'm not going to putting a blog post on my blog above asking someone or seeing someone bring me a snake in my house because they want it. They're proud and they want to show it off. You know, I'm trying to live in the moment with them. So yes, it's not as easy trying to blog and have a career full time, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Thanks.
And you're right. It is. It goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
Like you're going to blink and they're going to be in college and it's just going to be. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting nostalgic now. Gary, you got a question?
Yeah. Well, I'm very impressed that with everything that you have going on, that you're able to maintain such a network, and you have 1 million Facebook followers, and I would imagine you're on other social networks. So let's look at it this way. How did you grow such a empire? And do you have any tips you could share with us for future food bloggers that might want to do the same thing?
Sure. So basically, my Facebook, yes, there's over 1 million fans on that. I can't really take any credit for that. So what happened is I had, I want to say like 50,000 fans, and that was all like tough, hard work and grit. And then I went on vacation with my family to Disney World, and I opened my computer one morning. I hadn't looked at it for a couple days. I opened my computer one morning, and all of a sudden I had 10,000 new likes on my page. And I was like, what is going on? I must have done something awesome. No, absolutely not. It had nothing to do with me. It was just some random Facebook was deciding to let my page grow. And so that continued for, I want to say, like 10 days straight of 10 to 15,000 likes a day. Wow. And it was just growing and growing and growing. And I had this like magic spot where anything I posted on my page, people were clicking on like crazy. I don't know if you have ever looked at your Google Analytics, but there you have a real-time number of people are clicking on your site. And at one point I had like 8,000 real-time clicks on my page from Facebook. Mm. And that was pretty overwhelming and amazing. And I was like, I need to stick with this form of social media. Then, you know, that continued. And about a year later, Facebook decided, you're done. We're taking away this magic potion that we've given you. And so then that's when I had to refocus and start really working at it. And that's where I am now with my page. I don't have really good reach on my page. I'm right in the 4 to 6% of the people who follow my page see my content. So I work really, really hard at getting good click through and having content that people want to engage with. So in that aspect, I guess my tips for growing your Facebook page is really get into your page. You have to understand who your fans are, because there are no two alike pages on Facebook. It's like a DNA of sorts. It's really unique to you. And people are going to engage with your content in a unique way. So on my page, people love when I drop an image and then a link. But on other pages, people can just drop a link, and that's the most successful way to get engagement or click through, or people commenting, liking, sharing, things like that. Everyone is different. And so when you get into your insights, which is basically Facebook's version of analytics, you can dissect all of this information that they're giving you and break it down and then develop a schedule or a plan in how you can best share your content on Facebook. I mean, I could talk about Facebook for hours, but
you've spoken professionally at all kinds of different conferences and things like that. So you are definitely one of the experts in how to do this and how to do it well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I probably wouldn't say expert, because Facebook changes too often for me to ever feel confident in my knowledge with them, but I definitely strive to have knowledge. So that's kind of where I would classify myself with that.
Nicely said. Do you do any paid advertising on Facebook?
I have, absolutely, definitely, and support others in doing so. I'm not running any campaigns right now. I actually, about 2 months ago, decided that I need to change something about how my page was, because I was putting posts up and they were being seen by 1 to 2% of the people following my page. And that's just not okay. That was an error that lied with me and my lack of consistency and scheduling. So I stopped everything that I was doing on my page. I left all sharing groups. I stopped any boosting or any paid advertising. I stopped sharing content the same way that I always do. And I started over with a blank slate, so to speak. And so in that time of stopping paid advertising, I have not noticed a decline in traffic in the slightest. And I've also not noticed a decrease in engagement at all. So right now, it's not something I need to invest in or want to invest in, but I'm definitely open to it in the future.
Interesting. So content still is king.
Oh, yeah.
What other social media avenues do you use and you find that work well?
Well, within Facebook, I'm starting to do a lot of live video on that, which is fairly new, but it is exploding on my page. So an average post that I'll do will be shown to like 20 to 40,000 people. And I'll get like maybe 500 likes, maybe a couple hundred shares, a couple comments. And that's average. When I post a Facebook Live video, they are being shown to 4 to 500,000 people. And I should have like done a screenshot so I could show you. But every single time I go online to do these live videos, it's being shown to 500,000 people. That's not always reflected in the likes or the shares, but that is so that is speaks to the power of Facebook wanting to promote themselves on this platform.
Yeah.
So focusing a ton of time into providing this service. Beyond that, beyond Facebook, because there is life beyond Facebook. I do like Instagram, but I use Instagram purely for business purposes. I don't have a personal Instagram, and so I don't necessarily enjoy it as much as people who don't worry about the business side of it do. But beyond Facebook and Instagram, I think Pinterest would be my favorite for as a user. I've gotten to the point where if I Google something, I don't Google something, I Pinterest something. You know, I enter the search into Pinterest because I'm a visual learner, so to speak.
Well, I've heard that that's what Pinterest wants to be. It's like a search engine for whatever you can think of. And they don't just do food. I know that's where our focus tends to be. But yeah, a lot of people do that. They're using Pinterest as a search engine now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So what, Amanda, what does the future look like for you, you know, as far as, I mean, obviously today's the pinnacle, but
go in your declining career, what would you like to have happen?
What do you see going forward for you?
So I, for a while, have had like big goals and aspirations concerning speaking and sharing knowledge about social media with others and helping people grow on a big level. And I was pursuing that and I was looking for all these speaking gigs. And what I have found is that it's not as personal as I would like. And I don't really enjoy the time away from my family. I don't enjoy being alone somewhere in the world without the people that I love. So... And this is actually quite new. I've never told anyone this other than my husband, but I am actually pursuing providing mentorship through my site, which would be almost the exact same thing as I do now when I'm speaking, but on a one-on-one level, because I'm finding that the things that fulfill me and the things that are in line with what I consider my spiritual gifts, the gifts that I was given, what aligns most with that is me helping someone personally to meet their goals, that we get to know the person and the details surrounding their life and their circumstances, and then how to best apply that into reaching the goals that they've already set for themselves. So I've actually been putting together, a book, not a book in this, like kind of like an ebook sort of thing to give to potential clients. I've been developing the program for some time now, putting many, many hours into that. And I think for me, it's kind of a reversal of fortune, so to speak, but I want to take a step back and really focus on people, individuals, developing real relationships instead of the big, giant global relationship.
Fabulous. Well, I think that's a great idea because, you know, we all get excited when we go to these conferences, but there's so much to take away, and it's not personal, and it's somewhat limited in its interactivity, and I really like that idea. So, yeah, good luck to that. I think you're going to do fine.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You definitely have the personality to do that, too. I know just from the couple times we have met, you're just so caring and giving, and it is more personal to be able to have that one-on-one conversation. And like, that's why we like doing our interviews through Skype, so we can see and actually talk to, you know, each other and get to know each other and feel like there's something there. You're going to be great.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I love that about your show because I feel like it comes across. when you're talking to people, that you're not only are you interviewing them and, you know, providing great information for people, but there's a camaraderie and there's like a joyfulness in your conversations. And I really appreciate that. And that's what makes it so fun to listen to.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Very, very cool. Now, Amanda, do you have a cookbook or anything in the offering or in the making?
I had a cookbook released in 2014 that's called Surprise Inside Cakes. Mm-hmm. And then I recently, I want to say in the beginning of the year, I got on fire and I was like, I'm going to write another book. And I put together this whole proposal and all these recipes and I created it and submitted it to my agent. And she was like, it's okay.
Aww.
And so in that moment, it took the wind out of my sails. And I was like, you know what? I don't know why I was so on fire for that. That's not what I want right now. So I've really put that on the shelf and I'm not even considering it at this point.
Well, tell me a little bit about your cake inside, or what would you call it?
Surprise Inside Cakes.
Surprise Inside. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that cookbook because I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. Well, unless you're out looking for Surprise Inside Cakes, you probably haven't. But it is, it's basically just putting designs on the inside. So traditionally, we see designs on the outside and how we sculpture and how we frost. But I use batter manipulation or putting cake back in, removing cake. And just so when you cut into the cake and you pull out a piece, there's a design inside. And so it's very difficult sometimes, and it takes a lot of thought and process. But in that moment, when someone cuts into a piece and you take it out, and their eyes light up, and it's like sometimes you'd even hear people gasp. You know, that moment was so addicting. Mm. That's why I kept doing those cakes, because it was just amazing to see that and to surprise people in such a fun and delicious way.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'm going to have to check it out, because this whole surprise inside the cake, to me, it was always the choice between, you know, like pudding and frosting or something. That was...
Yeah.
More often than not, it was a disappointment. So I'm going to have to check it out. Well, if somebody wanted to buy your book, where would they find that?
It's at anywhere that books are sold, I believe, like Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all those places. Okay. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, awesome. I'm going to have to check it out. Sarah, you have a copy, right?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah,
very nice.
It's not signed yet, but that's because I haven't gotten up the courage to ask the author for her autograph yet.
Oh. Now,
girl, you're so funny.
Amanda, do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
I do. I have one more scheduled in L.A. in August for Blog Her. Not Blog Her Food, but Blog Her. And that is going to be super interesting. I think I'm actually going to be meeting up with Foodstirs, Foodstirs, which is run by Sarah Michelle Gellar. So we might be doing some live baking together.
Nice.
At that event. Yeah.
And what are the dates?
I think it's August 4th through 6th, maybe, something like that. In the beginning of August, for sure.
Stalker fan number one will be there.
I'm not that far from LA, you know.
Oh, well, that's a different conference. That's not like our safe little food blogger conference. That is every walk of life. So if you have an open mind and love to see diversity amongst personality and blog topic themes, then that is the place to be.
Oh, awesome. Good to know.
You have to check that out, Sarah. Give us a live on report.
That's right. We could go and just do food blog radio live.
You should. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Amanda and Sarah Michelle Gellar, right?
Yes.
Food blog
yes.
radio show.
She'd love to be, you know, have the pinnacle of her career then too.
Wow. Sounds like I'm being replaced right in front of my eyes.
Not at all. Absolutely not.
Holy moly. Well, let's leave it at that note. And
Amanda, now, the only way you could be, you know, who would replace you?
We are, yeah, the competition's a little tough here.
The only person that can replace you.
The chicken timer?
Yeah.
Nice. There's a visual. Amanda, we're at the end of our podcast. It has been fabulous. And how about taking a minute or two or three and just tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. So my blog is iambaker.net, and my Facebook is iambaker, and Instagram is iambaker, and Twitter is iambakertweets, I think. I can't even remember. Basically, if you want to find me, probably the best way to do it is on Facebook. That's where I usually am focusing time and energy. And I also have a Facebook group for people who want to learn more about learning about Facebook and social media. That's Tips for Optimizing Facebook. And that's open to everybody. So they could stop by and walk with us on our journey of conquering the beast that is Facebook.
Yeah, it is a beast.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah.
Awesome. You know, this has been a great conversation. And like all of our podcasts, we just want to go on and on and on. But we have reached the pinnacle of our career here, Sarah and I.
Yeah.
And you, as you've reached yours, and we have to say goodbye.
Well, thank you guys so much. It was such an honor. And I never thought I would have so much fun talking about myself for this amount of time. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your time. And you're going to have to reward your children, because I don't think we heard them once.
That is awesome. Yes. So, I will be bribing them with ice cream.
Very good. Oh, nice. All right. Thank you, Amanda, very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye, Amanda.
I don't know how she does it. 5 kids, 100 chickens, 1 million followers on Facebook, and 15 acres of paradise. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Yes. Amazing Amanda.
Amazing Amanda. That's right. And that was a lot of fun. She has a wealth of knowledge and is always so willing to share. It's really great to be able to chat with her and get some of those tips and tricks and put it to work on our own blogs.
Yeah. And great personality. I love that.
Yeah.
So big thanks for her besides being on the show and such. So we will be back again in another week or so, depending on how things roll out, with another fabulous interview. Don't forget to find us on Facebook and Twitter and iTunes. Get on iTunes if you're subscribing to us and listening to us, and leave a comment. We need some love there. Okay, enough chitter chatter, rambling on as normal with us. We got to go.
Yep.
And we will talk to you next week, everybody. Take care and be good to your heart.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.